I'm Steve Martin. Welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. Tina Adair is my guest. Tina has a brand new album just now hitting the markets now, where you can find it at tinaadair.net. Tina's album was Here Within My Heart. I always enjoy talking to Tina. She's such a phenomenal singer and has a great choices of music and stuff that she does. Just phenomenal. I really do. I enjoy talking to her. You will, too. You'll enjoy talking to her and listening to her. Start off the program then with a brand new single, Seasons of Love, from Here Within My Heart. And then we will talk to Tina right here on Unreal Bluegrass. Thanks so much for tuning in. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a current single or new single, Seasons of Love, which is on Tina Adair's new album, Here Within My Heart. And I'm so happy to have a chance to talk to Tina again about her music and just talk to her in general. We always have a good time. So, Tina Adair, how are you? Thanks for being available.
I'm doing great, Steve. I'm down here in Tennessee battling these ghetto spring allergies. How are you doing?
We're doing fine. I think we're not that far off. You know, we might get a little colder. We're a little bit north, but the Ohio River blocks a lot of the cold stuff back into Ohio. So I'm pretty close to what I'm pretty close to what you guys are getting down there in Tennessee.
Yeah,
So yeah, we got the pollen, we got all that stuff going on.
Yeah, it's bad this year.
So in saying that, it's perfectly okay if you need to cough.
Yeah.
we were already laying the groundwork for that.
I feel like I'm actually a little bit late on the game. Some of my friends have been really battling for the past few weeks, and I got it this morning, and I was like, okay, what's going on? Here we go, pollen. Hello.
we were talking off the air. I don't think we've reached the point up here yet, although it'll happen.
It'll happen.
You'll wake up and your car will be yellow, and your car may have been black when you went to bed, but it's yellow when you wake up. That's when you know it's hitting.
Yeah, you can start writing people messages on your car.
somebody wash off this pollen, please, for me, so I can go somewhere. The new album is just, I love everything that you're doing on it. I always enjoy listening to your music because your vocals are so, first of all, it's a great collection. There's 10 tunes that I have on, or 10 songs.
Thank you.
And they're great selections. There's a lot of, and I'll talk to this one. When we get to the last three songs, there's a specific question I want to address to you. But so we started off with Seasons of Love, which is a very upbeat tune. It's we could say it's an update of all these four seasons, but you're really talking about the love and how the planet changes as we change things and how things change within humanity. And you're in like, and then you're in love, and then things change, and I love that one.
Thank you. That's a tune that was written by Eddie Sanders, my good buddy and label mate, Eddie Sanders, and Glenn Duncan, and Adam Englehart, and a pal of mine out in Oklahoma who I've known forever, too, Don McAfee. And I have had this song, like, I've been wanting to record this song for a while, for a few years, actually, and Adam... This song, Adam had pitched to me back even before I signed with the Englehart Music Group, and I just kept going back to it and go back to it, and this was the right kind of the right album to put it on. So and I just love this. I love this song, and it's easy to sing along with, and it's one of those tunes that it could have been around for ages. You know, it kind of sounds like a standard. You
it
know,
does. And it does.
Yeah, and So anyhow, I love the feel of it, and like I say, I've had it on hold for a little while, and so this album seemed like the right time and the right album to put it on.
I'm glad. It's a wonderful. I've got it as the fastest tempo that I have in my memory on this album of notes that I've been writing down here, as I can read this correctly. The Bridge You're Gonna Burn. I think that's the most up tempo. But I put Seasons of Love as like. Up tempo, but not quite to that speed as far as the tempo of the tune. Does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah, it does. Bridge You're Gonna Burn, which was the leading single. Yeah, it was pretty up tempo, but this one is too. But it just has it kind of has that standard bluegrass feel, you know?
Yeah. And Bridge You're Gonna Burn, which is the first cut on the album, I'm just kind of glancing. Mm-hmm. You know how I do this, Tina.
Yeah.
I like to talk about the album. I like to talk to you about what's going on. We may hit all the songs, we may not, but Bridge You're Gonna Burn is the first cut, and it just takes off. It takes off like, here we go, we're doing bluegrass, folks, so buckle up.
Well, you know, That's my roots are in bluegrass and country music, you know, and my parents played bluegrass all my life, and so I'm real steeped in the bluegrass vein, and I, you know, what better way to kick off a bluegrass album than a true hard driving bluegrass song?
And I agree with you.
I tell you what, Scott Vessel takes it off on that banjo, and then here we go, like just like, you know, buckle up.
If I've talked to you before about this, I apologize, but I've seen Scott up close. Everybody knows how great he is, but his right hand to me is so relaxed. It's almost like someone's giving him Novocaine, but it's so powerful. But his hand position, and I play banjo a little bit, not like that, I'm very pedestrian, but as I watch his hand, I'm thinking, well, we're supposed to be rigid, and Earl says do this, and Scott's right hand is just sort of like, just like you could blow it away with a sneeze.
It's so true, and, you know, I'm good, you know, Scott's one of my dearest friends, and so I've spent a lot of time at his studio as well, you know, recording and stuff, and it's, he is just, I don't know how he does it, but I understand what you're talking about.
Thank you.
He's like my favorite banjo player of all time. I'm very lucky to get to have him on these projects, but I think it's his, for me, it's the relaxation with his right hand, but also, there is something, I can't pinpoint it, about his playing, but about the spacing and all. And
everything's so clean.
Which he does his notes, the spacing, just within the timing.
You're right.
The timing of his right hand. And it's just like a split second different from the rest, but it matters. And it, I don't know, it's just. Yeah, he is just absolutely a phenomenon on banjo. He really is.
He's fun to watch and a nice guy.
And he's self-taught, really, you know, so that's other thing. He didn't really study under anyone, and And, yes, he's a super nice guy to boot, so he's salt of the earth, you know, he's great. But, yeah, so I will always have him on my projects and everything, but it's just he brings it all together. And I'll tell you, I did a show out in Oklahoma the latter part of last year, and I had him and Tim Crouch, who's also on the album, mm-hmm. who will also on my first album as well. But they played with me out in Oklahoma, and I mean, it's the same as playing with them in the studio. I mean, those guys are they're the best of the best, you know.
Well, thank you for confirming what I thought I would see if Scott played live. I mean, I've known of him forever. I've seen him play, I don't know, half a dozen times. But every time I'm looking at his right hand, I'm thinking, how in the world? What? That?
Yeah.
All that? And it's just kind of floating there. And he's got all the great tones. Anyway, thanks for that. So, let's not forget as we go through this that I'll ask you to mention musicians that are on this with you as we go through our discussion. I know that you always do that, and I want to give credit to everybody who's on here with you. My way of doing things. The very next song is a sad. You start off fast, and then you start off sad with Some Things You Can't Undo, where I think somebody's wishing they hadn't done somebody wrong, but it's a little too late.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, this is a tune that Glenn, you know, my producer, Glenn Duncan, pitched to me that he and Jerry Sally wrote this tune years ago, and I just kept, he had pitched me a lot of songs to listen to, and they had done like a country version of this, and I just kept coming back to it because I just love the lyrics in the chorus. I'm very much so a lyric person, mm-hmm. being a songwriter myself. And I just kept coming back to the lyrics in the chorus because it's so true. I mean, you can't unbreak a heart once it's been broken.
That's right.
I guess there's just some things you can't undo,
right.
You know, and it's just words to live by there. You know, you can't unsay things, you know, and all of that. So I just like the angle in which they approached that tune. It's potentially going to be the next single. Thinking about it. So.
I would say, if anybody cares about my opinion and they don't, I would say, yes, let's do that one. Let's do that one. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I just think it's very well written, and I love the melody and of it all. Yeah.
Well, as we talk, and I'm speaking to Tina A. there, if you just tuned in, she has a brand new album, Here Within My Heart, and we're kind of going through it a little bit. It's always fun to listen and talk. So we talk about the musicians on your album as they come up. And off before we started this conversation on air, I told you that one of the songs on here that I just was breathless over was, I wish that I could hurt that way again. And what I mean by that, and hold still while I give you this compliment, the range in your emotions in that vocal and the strength is just, it's just, it just blows me away. I mean, that song is just, boy, you put every bit of your vocal ability to capture all of that song, and man, it's just, it's gorgeous.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. See, this has always been one of my favorite songs, and I wanted to, I kind of wanted to record it years ago. I've sang it forever, and we were gathering songs for this album, and Adam Englehart, he said, what do you think about this song? I just kind of pushed it, put it back to the side, because I've been in some situations before where I want to record something and people would just kind of laugh at me or something like, oh, well, that's not, whatever. So I just kind of put that in the back of my, repertoire or whatever, and maybe someday I'll do it or whatever. And I hadn't thought about it anymore as we were putting together this list of songs. And Adam said, I'm going to play you a song. Listed. I could totally hear you singing this. He said, as a matter of fact, I'd love to hear you sing this song. He started playing it, and as soon as the first few notes kicked in, I was like, oh, my God, Adam. I was like, this is one of my favorite songs. I've always wanted to record this song. I just like, and so he was like, oh, it's one of my all-time favorites. I was like, this is why we work together, Adam. I was like, because, we're on the same page about things. And, I mean, you don't get any better than Don Cook, Curly Putnam, and Rafe Van Hoy, and with songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And just the lyrics in this, I mean, it's heart-wrenching. And, when I say, every singer has stages in their lives, as far as when you're young and you want to sing every note, musicians are the same way a lot of times. And then as you get older and you've lived life and you sang more or played more and all that, you learn that, I immerse myself into the song. I've lived that song. I need to be in living that song as far as singing it. Otherwise, no one's going to feel it, and that's what, that's what I try to do as a singer now. And I was watching something about Tammy Wynette, which is one of my all-time favorite singers as well. But I was watching something, and I remember Brenda Lee saying you could hear the tear in Tammy's voice.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
And that resonated with me because that's so true. You could hear that hurt or the pain or the tear, as Brenda Lee said, in Tammy's voice always. And that was one of the things, but that, really resonated with me. And I don't know. I love singing this. I think when you immerse yourself into a song and you're feeling that pain that's inside this song, then other people are going to hear that and feel the same emotions as you take them through that journey.
Well, yes, great songwriters, correct. Great choices between you and David.
Adam, yeah.
Adam, yeah, I had it reversed in my mind. I know Adam very well. He's a very tall fellow. I know him well. We were on the board of IBMA for a while. I remember I'd seen his pictures, and he shows up, and there's this, I'm 6'2 and a half. I'm thinking, this guy knows me. His pictures look like a little guy, and it was Adam. So which is a really nice guy, but so good.
He is that tall. I think I come up to his elbow.
So good choice of material from you and Adam. Great songwriting, but I want to, and great musicians always, you have great people available that are willing and want to play on your songs, but what I want to stress to the listeners is this vocal is just the whole range of every emotion and every note, and even the ending note has got that, you can feel what's going on, and I just think this vocal is unparalleled in things that I've heard in a long, long time. There's just so much, maybe not just in bluegrass, but maybe in everything. I think this vocal, Tina, is just, can't get any better. What you pull out of those words and that emotion, and I want people, and I'll probably play this at the beginning of the show. The show being a 3-hour show, I'll start off with that, and then we'll get into the rest of our discussion. But at the beginning of the show, I'll probably play it. I just think it's remarkable, just remarkable. I got all kinds of notes by my scribbles. Every time I listen to it, I go back and hit it again. So,
thank you so much. That means a lot to me. I'm really, I really appreciate the compliments and all.
I mean it.
It's it's probably that coupled with probably another song is one of my favorites on the whole album. So, and I think it's just because I've been, you know, been wanting to do this for this song forever and wanted this, you know, and have been singing it, you know, forever.
Let me ask you this. When you sang it live before you recorded it, was it this way? Did you sing it this way or was it different?
Yes. This was my, pretty much when I sang it just with me and my guitar sitting around home, because that's the way, you know, I would do it, obviously. And it's the same key. We did it in the same key.
Okay.
And yes, I sang it the exact same way. Now, I will say this. I didn't know there was a couple of chords in there that I did not know, and the maestro Glenn Duncan obviously knows them all and more. But that's really the only thing that changed from the arrangement that I would sit around in my living room singing to the other than adding all of the instruments to the way. Yeah, but singing it is exactly the same. Yeah, because it's just, I mean, gut-wrenching lyrics, like, I wish I could hurt that way again.
Yeah, really.
That is just, that's just gut-wrenching, you know, ripping your heart out there, you know. And that way, you know, like, at least I had you every now and then. I mean, it's just, you know, this is someone who's, you know, they're heartbroken, you know, and they're just trying to
even the part that was hurtful, at least there was contact with that individual.
exactly
that's a desperate, sad position.
It is, and honestly, at some point in time in everyone's life, or you know, or in our lives, we probably either have been through that or will go through that at some point in time.
Sure.
And so that's what, you know, it's just a very well-written song, but
you kill it. Every time you say something about the songwriting, and I'm going to come back and say Tina owns this song, because I'm not going to let I'm not going to let you get off on that. I think this is vocal of the year anywhere I could possibly imagine one.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. Maybe I need to tell Adam we should consider putting that one as a single or something at some point in time.
Well, let's talk about that, because you're going to introduce this song after we talk about it a little bit. So that's there are the last three tunes are interesting, and I have a question about that for you also. But the fifth cut, Bad Intentions, which I want you to introduce, is sad, but not so much sad. I put this this way. In most of the songs, and maybe these are the old songs, where the woman dies and the guy sings about it kind of proudly that he took her down to the river and drowned her and he turned himself in and he would do it again. Bad Intentions, yeah. You know what I mean? All of them are kind of like, yeah, I did it, but okay, here I am, so what? So, which I always thought was weird, but so Bad Intentions, without saying so, there's never the comment, but I think Bad Intentions, the lyrics and the way you sing it, which is kind of a spooky kind of a sound, somebody's been dead in this one, but you never come around to say it. Somebody's been dead.
Well, this was our first, one of the first times that Glenn and Adam and I have written together or whatever, and I kind of had this idea for like a, it's almost like you're doing a stomp kind of thing, you know, says, here you come. And we wanted to write about someone who has been doing someone wrong, you know, and them just not taking it anymore and realizing that person always had bad intentions regardless.
But not anymore.
Right. So yeah.
So there's implied in there that something ended that, and I don't think it was a change of heart in the person who was doing the bad.
I'll leave that up to the listeners' interpretation.
I agree. All right. I don't mean to make people, because I can't. But when I hear it, I'm thinking, he is, and now he's a was. So there's no more of this haunting Bad Intentions. Well, let's play that. With that introduction, we'll play Bad Intentions for the audience, and I'll come back and chat with Tina again. All right, so hold on. This is Bad Intentions from Here Within My Heart, brand new album from Tina Adair, who I enjoy so much chatting with and listening to your music. Let's cut to that song. I'll be right back. That was it. And as Tina says, you all can make up your own mind. I think I've kind of made up mine without saying it. But listen to Bad Intentions, and you decide. what the fate of somebody is in there, because it's not spelled out like they used to take them down to the well and throw them in or take them to the river. And it's, you might have to connect. And maybe I'm jumping the gun. Maybe I'm jumping the gun. I don't know. Maybe the guy.
Hey, I like songs that's open for one's interpretation.
Well, sure. That's exactly right. And I do this all the time, and I don't mean to on the show, where I kind of want to get into, and really I should leave the songs alone, except I just kind of want to talk to the artist about what they're thinking. So I don't mean to interpret everything, and it should be interpreted by the listener every time, except I go out of my way.
No, it's fine, Steve. You're good.
The last three songs on here are all kind of this upbeat, and I don't mean by tempo, but they're As Long As There's a Shadow, you know, there's a Place for Us, Walk On, which we're going to introduce in a bit, and Lonesome Valley. All those three songs are upbeat in that they're optimistic in the end of it. And here was my question about those, and we're going to talk about these a little bit. Am I looking for this type of song because of what we've been through with the pandemic issues, and am I clinging on to issues that make me feel better? But it seems to me, I notice on more albums that I get that there are upbeat songs, and not in the gospel sense, because that happens too. But I mean, the song lyrics are kind of like, we're going to be okay. And am I hearing that, or am I seeing that more as just my imagination? I think there are more songs that are just kind of like this. Hey,
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think there is right now. I mean, post pandemic, I think people are looking for, especially in music, you know, that are recording music and singing. And I know I do as well, you know, look for some sort of positivity and message. I don't want to cry in every song, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
that works, yeah.
And some sort of positive. We've just been through a whole lot, Steve. I mean, in the past 3 years or so, you know, it's been tough on everybody's experience, their own whatever, you know, and it's just been tough. And I'm not saying it wasn't tough before that, but I'm just saying it's been exceptional. It's been extra
these past three years.
And I think people, especially musicians, can, you know, provide to listeners, you know, an outlet to escape a little bit and to check out for a minute and dive into music and be happy and so if we're singing about something, you know, with positivity, that's even better. And you know, for me personally, you know, my theme song is, you know, for the past I'd say 2 years or so, it's been Walk On. Everybody,
right,
that, which is the song, you know, and I'm a huge, huge Reba fan. Reba is one of my heroes. Not just from the perspective of her singing and stuff, but also just she's been through a lot of stuff and prevailed always. And she's a good human being, and she's a great businesswoman, and she's just, you know, she's a great person. And this song couldn't, you know, I just got this, Walk On carries such a great message. You know, it's like, listen, we're all going to face, you know, trials or troubles or, you know, hardship or whatever. And it's how you pick yourself up and carry on is the message of the song. Mm-hmm. And it also, you know, it makes you appreciate the great times that you're in as well, even more. And so, it's like, appreciate the good times that you're, you know, like that when you have them, appreciate them. Mm-hmm. And then the bad times that you're in, you know, plow on through them, because you don't get to the other side, and you just got to walk on, pick yourself up, carry on, walk on.
Nothing ever stays, and walk toward the sun.
Exactly.
So I look at these last three. I don't want to give short shrift to Lonesome Valley, which we could go into, but as long as there is a shadow, I'm going to have you introduce Walk On here in just a second, because we've talked about it. But those three bottom songs I took as, and I said, maybe I look for them more, Tina. I don't know. But I also think it's normal for musicians who've been sort of cooped up and lived through the same thing that I've lived through, that it just automatically, subconsciously comes that they're looking for an upbeat upturn also. I think that happens.
I think you're right. I think you're totally right in that. As long as there's a shadow, that's a Roger Miller tune. It's Roger Miller, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. it's great. It's going to be great. And And that's a fun, and that's a different angle as well exactly. from the album. It's more of a swing, kind of westerny swing type. Those guys just did a bang up job playing on it. And so, yeah, and it's a fun tune to sing. And then Lonesome Valley, I love the vibe of that song that, you know, just kind of the up tempo with the finger picking style guitar as well. And it's just a fun, that's a fun little gospel tune that I, you know, I'm Glenn and Adam brought that to me going, what do you think about redoing this? Cause several people have done Lonesome Valley for, you know, many cuts on it, but I was like, yeah, I want to do it. I was like, if we can do it with starting out with the guitar picking, you know, like with the finger picking style.
It was good. So on the alignment of these songs or the lineup, let's say 1 through 10, and you have great people advising you on how to put together a recording, but so are you're involved in these decisions to put start off with Bridge You're Gonna Burn and end up with something like the Lonesome Valley. You're involved in those decisions. There must be some pacing or some reason to line those things up like that.
Yeah, I'm involved in all of the picking out of the songs, I guess you could say. That's my way of putting it. But the selection of songs and the sequence. The sequence of songs matters on an album.
I think it does so much because I'm talking to Tina Adair, if you're just tuning in. So the first cut, Bridge You're Gonna Burn, really upbeat. And then Some Things You Can't Undo is immediately a slowdown. So you were going to talk about how the songs are lined up, and I agree with you 100%.
The sequence matters because, to me, the sequence matters so much. It's like a painting. So you've got to look at it to the end. It's like the mix of a song is like a painting. You got to see it through to the end. And so you definitely want to take them on a journey, the listener on a journey. So if everything's just wham, bam, you know, like right up front, all in your face, the first four songs is just hitting you so hard you can't like breathe. And then all of a sudden the next four songs are slow and now we may fall asleep, you know, so you've got to take them, you know, on the journey or whatever. And interesting enough, we did not have Some Things You Can't Undo as the second one, but I made the suggestion to move it to the second one. And one reason we didn't is because it's actually in the same key as Bridge You're Gonna Burn. But you'd never know that from the transition at the end of Bridge You're Gonna Burn into Some Things You're Gonna Do. Here's why, because we start that song off in a minor. Some Things You're Gonna Do, we started off in a minor and not in the original key, not in its like core key that it's in. So you don't hear like, oh, well, they're doing every song on this album starts off in the key of B, you know, like his listener also will hear that. So you have to, and, you know, like it's like, oh, monotone here, B, 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 you know, you can't do that. But Bridge You're Gonna Burn and Some Things You Can't Do, this is a little, you know, one of our little, I don't know if Adam would want me to share that, but matter. So they're both in the key of B. They're both in the key of B, but you'd never know that with Some Things You Can't Undo because we kick it off in the minor.
Yeah.
So your ear is not hearing the same key as Bridge You're Gonna Burn ends and Some Things You're Gonna Do start.
And you do that live. When I used to play in a band, we would always try to, we would have, these are our A songs. We would have our key of A and put them up at a certain point where we would know when to capo because you wear people's ears out.
Yeah. Now, when you do live on stage, it does work actually a little different than an actual CD or, you know, an album or whatever. You can do like three songs in the same key, just bam, 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 because I think people are ready for your interview.
When you come out,
we're ready for the show.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it.
But when you listen to an album, it's a little different. But anyhow, sequencing is a big part of it on the album.
That's good. I like to ask about that because I hope it is. I hope the answer is always going to be yes, that we think about it, and I know that you did. So having talked about this great album here within my heart, Tina, I want you to – we've talked about Walk On. You've talked a lot about it, but I want you to introduce it, and I'll play that, and then I'll say goodbye to you as we're playing that tune. We'll leave you to the rest of your day.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen. Thanks for playing our music and keeping bluegrass alive and all that. I sure appreciate it. And thanks to all your listeners. And here is Walk On, everybody.
Thank you so much, Tina. I'll talk to you somewhere down the road.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.